time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation, all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Out Loud. Friends, there is a lot that has happened this past week, starting with this unbelievable shooting in New Zealand. The mosque shootings is certainly a big top story here. Also, you see the scandal with the universities buying a seat in the classroom. We need to touch on what's happening with American universities. Just when you think it can't get any worse, you can't find another scandal that beats the last one, right? And censoring Americans to silence. This has become another big problem. We have a panel discussion on this show. You'll need to hear about a lot of the censoring that is going on. A lot of your social media and a lot of the mainstream media as well. We've got big voices here, and we'll get to the out loud truth right now. Please welcome on to the show here, Karen Schoen is here. She's an educator, dean, a retired teacher, and activist focused on saving America. And if you read her columns on America Out Loud, you'll know there's a lot of truth to that for sure. Also, Del Wilber, he's a former CIA and Department of Defense Intelligence and Counterterrorism officer. Del, again, is a weekly columnist here on the platform and a big voice here on America Out Loud. Please welcome a new voice here, A.M., 30 years working on Wall Street, a Board of Trustee member for Four Children's Advocacy Center. She's what I call a social media influencer, and she's a constitutional centrist. Let's dive into some things here, guys. I want to start with this New Zealand mosque shootings here. So the shootings went into two mosques. We have close to 50 dead here, and this number may change, clearly depending upon what happens in the days ahead here. I think that this caught a lot of people by surprise. New Zealand, they haven't had a mass shooting in probably 40, 50 years, Del. It's an unusual, I mean, New Zealand, I've been there. It's a very unusual country in the way that it is. Peaceful people. But clearly, you've got, again, multiculturalism is going to be one of the issues here up front here. The fact that this guy who's now being pegged as a radical, clearly, and people are blaming the right, and there's a lot of blame going on, which always happens after these kinds of shootings here. But what do you make? Let's get back to the reason why he would go into a mosque and shoot up and kill all these people. How does multiculturalism play into this? And he was angry about some of the immigration policies going on and other things that are happening. What do you say about this?
You know, evil exists in this world. I mean, we've seen it repeatedly just a number of years ago. I can't recall exactly how many years ago, but I believe it was in Norway, which certainly doesn't have a reputation for having gun violence, but you had a mass shooting occur. I believe that was at a camping site in Norway that happened a number of years ago, and then now this most recent one. So, I mean, evil exists, extremism exists, and you know my background. I've spent a lot of years in the Middle East. I've worked with Muslims, and, you know, it certainly isn't I don't blame all Muslims for the extremism that occurs within their community, nor do I think all people that commit acts of extremism represent all of their community. So, you know, it's a tragedy, certainly, and we should continue to seek ways to try to identify these people before they commit their acts.
Dale, do you think there could be more lashback to the Muslim community? Because, you're seeing some of the talking points come out. Could there be more of a lashback for that?
Well, it's always possible. I mean, you know, certainly the acts committed by the Muslim extremists and that, are something that that might have talked about retribution and that. Certainly, the crazy ones, and that's something that, you know, it's possible, but certainly we will try to do our best to prevent it.
Karen, violence in any form is not good. Clearly, I think we all agree with that on this call, and I hope everybody agrees with that. Violence of any kind isn't good. But again, talk to me, Karen, specifically, with your background and what you cover here. Let's speak about I want to educate folks a little bit about this multiculturalism and how that is impacted here. How much does that play into this? Obviously, it's a major, major factor going into mosque. I mean, this lunatic was clearly targeting a specific audience, just like they've done on the other side. is it possible that some people have less sympathy because of what's happened on the other side of this thing? And I know that's a question a lot of people are not going to want to ask because nobody really wants to talk about the truth. Talk to me.
Well, I believe that multiculturalism is the recipe for making these things happen. Because when a person moves to a new country and you don't get involved with the culture of that new country and you maintain your old culture, you segregate yourself from the rest of the people, and that inherently always leads to some type of misunderstanding, miscommunication, and it makes it easy to do that. When you have people, especially in America, 300 million people that now speak different languages, it makes communication almost impossible. Mm-hmm. And you cannot learn about your newcomer, and they refuse or will not learn about America. Mm-hmm. So there's no common thread holding people together anymore.
Yeah.
And that was always the biggest thing about a melting pot. And when we grew up, that's all we heard. It's America. You're a melting pot. Right. It doesn't matter where you come from. You are an American first. Well, we should have said American blacks, not black Americans, because when you make America first, that becomes the largest group that binds people together, makes it hard to segregate.
Yeah. Karen, I like that.
Segregation right there.
Yeah, I like that approach. That is very unique what you say there and putting the word American first. That's something we need to talk about more of. I don't hear that anywhere. Interesting. You are always the voice of reason, I got to tell you. Back to this, let's talk about assimilation. What Karen speaks about there is really was the heart of the problem of where I'm trying to go here, which is assimilation. The lack of assimilation in Europe, the lack of assimilation here in the United States, the lack of assimilation in a lot of areas here. And I think we're kind of possibly, potentially, at the tip of the iceberg here. What do you think?
Malcolm, I do agree. We're on the tip of the iceberg. I think part of it is also it's forced multiculturalism. It's forced because it's a forced immigration issue that the government brings in against the wishes of the common person and resettles these refugees or immigrants, whatever you wish to call them. They settle them in groups and communities. So there's really no need to assimilate. They stay in their own communities. And the people around them look at them. You know, they're given housing. They're given benefits. And I believe this gentleman that, you know, was the shooter even wrote on his weapon something about taking my land or my land will never be their land.
That's right.
And it was a quote, actually, that Osama bin Laden had said at the same time.
Yeah.
So I think that the common person is a little fed up with being forced to, they're ousted by the immigrants or their wages have gone down because of the immigrants. But it's a forced issue. It's not something that has been embraced with open arms for the most part. It's being forced
upon
the people of the country.
Well, this man left a manifesto. They all have one, I mean, and it clearly, you know, paints a picture here, very much so. There's a lot to this story here, and we'll dive more into this a little bit later here, friends, in the program for sure. I want to talk next about this university scandal here, guys, at America's, really some of our supposed to be top elite universities. So authorities this past week uncovered, by golly, a biggest scandal ever involving these universities that exposed many Hollywood and wealthy families, if you will, buying their children's way fraudulently into the top universities. It's a real complex system, you would call it, of fraud, deception, collusion, and payoffs and promises, if you will. It seems that, I mean, you know, you could almost call this a new form of affirmative action. where, you know, they use it, whoever's got the most money or a credit card wins, I guess. Karen, got to go to you. I mean, I've been thinking about you these last few days as this was happening and unveiling here. Does any of this surprise you?
Not at all. This has been going on forever. How many wings have been donated? How many libraries have been donated? It's just these people got caught. And the problem, I believe, has become because we are now instantaneous view of everything that goes on. And our elected officials lie, cheat, steal, they're criminals. We're watching them do that. So if they do that, why can't I do that too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why are the rules different? And when you have a president who's a liar, as we saw with Barack Obama, how could you turn around to your children and say, don't lie, when their leader is a liar?
Yeah.
The role models that our populace is seeing are horrific. There are no role models anymore. And when the kids' role models are inanimate objects instead of real people, they have no connection to the truth. Why? Who cares about the truth? The truth is they are taught that the truth today is their truth today, and tomorrow could be a different truth. So why is it okay for somebody to donate to something and it's not okay for me to
do
the same thing?
Listen, Karen, what I take away, the biggest point of what you just said was kind of interesting to me. Like, all right, so this has been, I agree with you, this has been going on for a long time, even though this is like, okay, some big scandal all of a sudden. But, you know, what they really should have done instead, I think, is, and AM, I want you to answer this a moment. Why didn't they just... do it out in the open.
The sad thing is, living out here in the Los Angeles area, I saw this go on in preschool, when we were going through the system and we were going through private schools. And this was going on 30 years ago, and it's no different than
that's right.
what is happening here. They just, because they went to a direct coach or a direct admissions mm-hmm. person,
right,
and bribe them. Mm-hmm.
It is kind of interesting the way it all comes down. Mr. Del Wilber, let me talk to you about the presidential campaign is in full swing. We've got an army of radical left people already thrown into the race. It's changing every day, but this thing seems to be a 24-month cycle. The campaign, it starts right after the midterm election. You can pretty well count within hours somebody will say, I'm going to run for president. But, you know, we've talked about this over the years, but I mean, 24 months to elect a president, I mean, it kind of is. And, you know, what's ironic is a lot of times in the last year, Del, before it actually the last year of a campaign, you'll hear, like, Reid came out and others, McConnell does it as well. Well, I don't want to legislate in January because this is an election year. But yeah, the election's at the end of the year. I mean, what did we pay you bozos for? I mean, of course you have to legislate. But they actually, what I'm saying is the presidential campaign cycle is way long. Is it too long, Del?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And part of the, I think what contributes to it is the cable news networks now, the 24-hour news cycle. And I recall when I was a young man, my parents used to come home from work, turn on the TV at 5 o'clock and watch the local news, and then 5:30 was the national news from 5:30 to 6, and that was it. Now we've got 24-hour news that has to be filled with something, and I think they're driving these political campaigns that last for years ahead of the election, and it's just... I think there's got to be some sense brought to it.
So what's going to happen now is people are going to get worn out with this. I mean, they're going to get worn out quicker, and then they're not really listening. Karen, I wonder if this is part of the master plan, actually. What I'm saying is it's all about dumbing people down, because if you keep talking about this incessantly, who's going to pay attention 20 months from now when we're just upon the race, when they've been saying the same thing all this time, it's just another version of it? I mean, I don't know. Is it too long?
Well, I think it's too long, and basically it's all about the Benjamins, because the marketing companies and the strategy companies are making a fortune, and that's what this is all about. And, you know, the only good thing in this election is that the people will really get to see what the Democrats are all about, and hopefully have a real wake-up call. Maybe there will be analysis of some of the things that have gone on, but nothing that anybody's talking about is new. And when that happens, what happens is you get bored with it, because you are constantly hearing the same thing over and over and over again. I think there'll be more people that will be joining the election cycle, and I think that it will just be able to give people a true picture of who's running. But I think if it were up to me, I think a three-month election cycle is long enough.
3 months. I think I agree with you. 3 months. All right, Karen, I'll double you. I'll give you 6 months, but that's it. No more. Not a day more, okay? You'll compromise?
Now compromise.
All right, 6 months.
Yep, okay. Yeah. That would be wonderful.
So Karen and I just legislated, and we're going to say AM, 6 months we're going to give for the print. No more, not a day more. 6 months, but not 24. It's not going to happen, AM. We'll give you that. That's it. Listen, I want to talk about long and bureaucracy and burdensome and annoying and ridiculous and over the top. And I want to talk to you about the Robert Mueller investigation, AM. That's a great segue, right? And So we've been hearing now for the past few weeks about the fact that it's imminent. It's imminent. It's all of a sudden it's imminent. You know, I sense Chicken Little's running around out there waiting for the sky to fall. But obviously what's really interesting to me right now is this. All of a sudden, what I'm noticing is the left, the Democrat, the leadership. All of a sudden, like really people, out of the blue, it's like, there's probably nothing in that report anyways. The Dems are actually saying that. Yeah, we don't think it's probably a nothing burger, they're calling it. Yeah, it's a nothing burger. But let's start some new investigations. What the hell? We got more time to waste and more taxpayer money. Let's just keep going at this thing. What gives?
Just distraction. It's distraction and noise from just trying to distract people from looking at they're totally trying to take down President Trump and will do anything. It's called resist. Remember that word?
Resist.
And they are saying, you know, Mueller, now I've even seen a couple of times that, well, Mueller's been working for Trump this whole time. And they're just throwing out.
You mean they're saying that now? People are saying that actually, Ian?
Yeah,
that he's working for Trump?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. I've seen that a lot.
Wow.
On Twitter that he's really, this is all about
that's a new one on me.
So they'll say anything and do anything, throw as much garbage as they can.
Yeah, it is all distractions here. Let me get Dell to chime in on this. Well, Dell, your thought on that, that's interesting. AM says they actually, I hadn't heard that conspiracy that Mueller is potentially working for Trump. You think that's possible, Dell Wilbur?
Well, I don't think it's possible, but I think that will be the excuse that's used. I mean, the people are so the left is so invested in finding some dirt on Trump that they're not going to accept, you know, that nothing was found. So yeah, it's politics.
With all these things happening right now, they're kind of grasping now and they're trying to pull straws here, Karen, aren't they?
Oh, I think they are, and hopefully they will get to see the other side, which we've all been waiting for, and that is what's been going on with the Democrat Party, and actually everything that has been said has been done by the Democrat Party.
There is nothing there. I'm going to be just a bit out loud about it. But I think he's going to try to spin something. I don't know what the something is, but I suspect that this won't be a clean report. It's not going to be a pat on the head to the president. I assure you of that. He's been taking down a lot of his people all over him, as you can see. It's become a complete spectacle, which is what these special counsels always become. A big thank you here again to Karen Schoen, Dell Wilbur, AM. Friends, it's all back at AmericaOutLoud.com. You'll get the best op-eds, the best editorial and opinions about the news and what's happening there. It changes throughout the day. It's a fast-paced news cycle, of course, but it's also about lifestyle and social and cultural, which we take a look and dive into these things as well. So it's a place you can come and stay a while and check it out. We invite you there all the time. Stay right there now as Viewpoint rolls on.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends. The with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Hey friends, welcome back to Viewpoint. We've been talking about this New Zealand shooting here in the mosque, and again, multiculturalism is something we need to talk about here. This, you know, we talk all the time about coexistence in our cultural divides. You know, listen, you've been hearing this, we discussed this enough about what's going on in Europe. We're seeing it in the United States. We're seeing it in communities. I mean, come on, we're seeing it in Minnesota. We're seeing it in a lot of communities throughout the Midwest here and throughout the nation, really. The word you hear a lot here is assimilation. Is assimilation an effective tool, and is it happening? And it's tied a lot to immigration and many times illegal immigration as well here. Let's take a different look at the New Zealand shooting here today as to what happened here. What's behind all this? I'd like to have you welcome on here our discussion. Lieutenant Randy Sutton is here. You know Randy, his voice. He's a 34-year law enforcement veteran, retired from Las Vegas Police Department. Now, he's a big voice here at America Out Loud. Blue Lives Radio is a spectacular show, plays every day on America Out Loud Talk Radio, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, all those shows go to podcast. You can get it on any podcast network around the world. Randy addresses a lot of stuff on his show. Definitely check out Blue Lives Radio. But even more importantly than that is the organization he has just founded, which we'll talk about a little bit later, and we're going to have some other specials on the network about this. It's called The Wounded Blue. And this is an organization whose time has really come here. It's an important movement that Lieutenant Sutton's been behind. It's really a life endeavor for him. It's something he never thought he'd have to do, but the need is there, and he's making it happen. So we'll talk about that as well ahead here. Ilana Friedman is also here. As you know, Ilana's another big voice here. She's a veteran intelligence analyst. Now, again, her focus is both on terrorism activities all around the world, clearly, and political matters here. Of course, Ilana trained in Israel, lived in Israel, I just discovered recently, for 16 years. I had no idea it was that long. Raised her family there as well. She's an advisor to law enforcement and global corporations, and again, a weekly columnist here on the platform, friends. So, okay, the Christchurch mass shootings, all right, we're approaching about 50 dead, and that number may flex a little bit. There are a lot of seriously injured people here. This lunatic went into a mosque. Randy, I want to get your opinion right out of the gate on this thing before I don't want to varnish anything with something here, but I want to get your honest reaction to what you think the cause of this was. Again, we know terror comes in all forms, and lunatics come in all form as well. You speak about this every day of your life. But what's your take on this?
Well, this, unfortunately, you have people that have mental problems that take a kernel of hate and then grow it within them like a tumor. And that's what happened with this individual. Clearly someone who is filled with rage, filled with hate, intolerance, bias, and he planned and acted on it to a very, very vulnerable group of people. I mean, this guy planned and plotted this to the point where he successfully completed his mission. And, you know, he looked all over. He did his research, and he found the most vulnerable individuals where he could be successful in gunning them down and then being taken into custody so that he can go to trial, because he wants to bring his manifesto to life. And that's the real danger here, is you have people that are committed to this insane violence towards a group of people, and he chose these Islamic worshippers.
Ilana, we talk about this guy, this terrorist attack. He had an anti-immigrant manifesto, and he live streamed the carnage here in a sadistic way. I mean, this is evil. Again, we talk all the time about good versus evil. This is complete evil, as Randy says here. It's totally correct on any form. This is evil. Now, I want to read something to you, Ilana. Joe Biden, interesting quote he puts out there, probably going to be a presidential candidate here, more than likely. He's quoted as saying this: whether it is anti-Semitism in Pittsburgh, racism in Charlottesville, or the xenophobia and Islamophobia today in Christchurch, violent hate is on the march at home and abroad. We cannot stand by as mosques are turned into murder scenes. Now, a lot of outrage on that. Obviously, he is setting the field, setting the ground for what he's going to try to blame on Trump. A lot of them are blaming it on Trump. What do you say to that, Ilana?
Well, I think the whole premise is wrong, because what's going on is a proliferation of anti-other all over the world. I mean, anti-Semitism in Europe is growing at an enormously prolific rate. It's everywhere. Jews are afraid to walk out. Muslims, on the other hand, in European countries, are growing rapidly and assuming a great deal of power. The mayor of London is a Muslim. That's not necessarily a bad thing, except that Muslims who are tied to the radical ideology are creating a network and a basis for future power grabs. That's one side of it. On the other side of it, you have the people who hate regardless, and that's what's causing this Islamophobia. It's what's causing the anti-Semitism, and hate in itself is an industry in Europe, around the world, and in the United States. There's a very active anti-Semitic and white power group in Montana that has created a lot of problems in the Big Fork and Whitefish and Kalispell area, and they've made themselves known in the community. They are creating an enormous amount of hostility, They are creating a hate environment, which is being resisted by the communities. It's an industry, hate industry. The SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, George Soros, Steyer, many of them are supporting this with very, very large contributions and monetary support of various kinds.
You can find a lot of reasons to hate, and these people are doing that. But here's the thing. Back to the fight with, really, Islam and Christianity. I mean, I don't think a lot of people are really hitting on this, and I think it's an important element of this. Is this something we might see more of these, Ilana, where there's a hit back to the mosque and to the Muslim community? I mean, could this be the start of something that has planted a bad seed?
Well, I don't think it's planted anything. I think this has been going on for a long time. We had enormous number of terrorist attacks against Christians in Egypt, for example, in Europe, in Belgium, in other places in Western Europe. We had a rash of incidents against Christians all over the world by Muslims, by radical Muslims. And I think this is something you're going to see more of. I don't think it's going to be just a response to this. This is going to be an ongoing process that we're going to have to confront. And the first thing we have to do in order to confront it is stop being so PC and start being very realistic about what the threats against us are.
I mean, it's been the big thing. I mean, the politically correct crowd have dominated the news cycle for some years now, certainly through the last administration. And it's created kind of a boiling point now as to where we're at. There are those who just want to, you know, they say whatever they say, and hate is alive and well. There's no question about it. I want to read you some of these comments coming in here, Randy. Listen to this here, some of these thoughts here. He talks a lot about the idea of an invasion. The Muslim immigrants are invading white Western countries. He talks about the birth rate, the idea of replacement, that white culture is being replaced. We've heard such words coming from the President of the United States. We heard them coming from far-right governments in Europe, whether it be Italy, whether it be Hungary. And this was CNN came out with all this business, as you can imagine, Randy. So, you know, again, the claims are that this has been cited from the right, that the Republicans have cited this and they have drove this guy. But you know what I find ironic, Randy, is that an illegal immigrant comes in and shoots a family member and kills a young child or something, which we've seen that quite a bit happen, the news cycle doesn't play that up, Randy. They play that down. That's a different animal when it happens on the reverse cycle. Again, this is just left and right politics, but the media is complicit here in all of this, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're talking in America at this time, what I'm referring to is the sanctuary city nonsense.
That's right.
That is literally protecting violent criminals. We've seen time after time after time, rapes, murders, violent assaults made by people who literally should not be in this country and have had ICE had the opportunity, they would have been removed from this country. But because of the political correctness that is rampant and the ideology that protects them, we're seeing politicians who are literally have blood on their hands because of the decisions that they make, and no one is held accountable for them. So that's here. But we've seen all throughout Europe, you have seen a stunning increase in violent crime committed with knives, committed with acid. And you literally will rarely even hear it here in the United States. You see that the governments over there in Sweden, in some of the Scandinavian countries, in Germany, they're whitewashing the issue, and in fact they're in many cases covering up the crimes because it's politically correct to do so because of the violence that's being committed by Muslims against the people in these cities because of a lack of assimilation.
Yeah,
and you rarely even hear about it here in the United States, mm-hmm. which in my estimation here is not preparing America.
That's
for
exactly
the
it.
Possibilities here.
That's exactly it, Mr. Randy. You just hit it right there. That's the biggest point of all of this, what you just said. And that's the driving point of this conversation right here, Randy, because I don't think we're prepared in this country, buddy, for what's coming. I think when you see the communities and the lack of assimilation in this country, and it's all over the place. I mean, it's all over the place. It's throughout the Midwest. It's all over the southern border. It's in our major urban cities. It's in Portland, Oregon. It's in New York City. It's everywhere. And we haven't even seen the tip of that iceberg, Randy. I'll tell you what, you wake up another 10 years from now and you're not going to like the picture you see. You know that.
Well, I've been watching and I'm taking note of everything that's going around. And remember who's on the front line here. Who's on the front line of terrorism in America? It's not the military. It's the
law enforcement. Ilana, I see, again, assimilation as being as our biggest problem. You and I have talked over the past time about a lot of these communities. I think, again, as I say to Randy, you wake up 10 years from now, and I don't think we're going to like the country we see.
The miracle of our country is that people came from all over the world, and instead of depending on a kind of laissez-faire multiculturalism attitude, they came and they integrated and they assimilated into our country. And into our society and into our culture. And that's what made America great, was the assimilation and the integration of all of these various cultures and ideas and brain power, and they created a marvelous, great, wonderful country.
But that's not the
case.
What's
happening now is the lack of assimilation.
All right, so the assimilation, again, is going to be the problem, people, I'm telling you. And, you know, again, who do you blame for this? Let me tell you who you blame for this. You blame your political leaders who have set the stage for this thing. This is a trap, people. This is a trap, nothing more than a trap. That's all this is. And it's your political leaders across the spectrum, both far left, far right, all of them. I mean, it's a hostile environment out there. And, of course, the media who plays to all this has allowed all these people to, yeah, just come in and be who you want. Yeah, speak whatever language you want. Yeah, just let it all live. Be whoever the hell you want to be. In the meantime, they're hijacking American communities and friends. You can call me whatever you want to call me, but I'll tell you what, I'm an American. And as Ilana was saying earlier, that's the word that should be in front of everybody. And if you can't get into that, then get the hell out. All right, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, you said it so well. Again, domestic terrorism, domestic law and order, it all falls to the law enforcement community, which has been, oh my God, it's been torn apart over the past decade, certainly throughout the entire Obama administration. Last 10 years, it's been ravaged. I mean, what's happened there? So let's talk about the Wounded Blue. What's the mission and what's the game plan for this?
Well, the Wounded Blue is the national assistance and support organization for injured and disabled law enforcement officers. And quite honestly, Malcolm, I wish that this organization didn't need to exist. But the reality is that when a police officer gets injured or disabled, they are not given adequate medical treatment. They are financially ruined because of a corrupt workers' compensation bureaucracy and system. And you see an incredible suicide rate. We've lost approximately 50 so far since January. And nothing is being done on a national level to combat this injustice. And that's what the Wounded Blue is here to do. We have a national peer support team made up of all wounded, injured, disabled police officers who have all been shot, stabbed, beaten, run over by cars, screwed up and screwed over. And they know how to communicate with others who have experienced the same thing. And it's a true injustice. We have to bring it to light. Hence, our film, The Wounded Blue, Service Sacrifice Betrayed, was just made available yesterday on Amazon.com.
So the documentary is now available. We'll have links in the post, friends. It'll be right on America Out Loud. Again, you can donate to the Wounded Blue. The website, Randy, I'm pretty sure is thewoundedblue.org. Is that correct?
That's correct, thewoundedblue.org.
Yep.
And we also have a GoFundMe up. Okay. Go to GoFundMe and the Wounded Blue.
Right, the Wounded Blue, yeah. Please get involved and check that out more. A big thank you again to Lieutenant Randy Sutton and Ilana Friedman here. Friends, okay, so we've been talking about the multiculturalism, what's happening in New Zealand, the mass shooting, but now we want to talk about censoring Americans to silence. This is no longer a laughing matter. It's not humorous anymore. Nobody's joking about it. So I think the fun of the games is all behind us now, and it's time to get serious with these tech giants and what they're doing to the conservative movement. It's gotten to a sickening point. We have a panel discussion on that. We're going to take that on next, friends, as Viewpoint rolls on.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Okay, welcome back to Viewpoint, friends. And, you know, we're talking a lot about censorship. This has been a hot topic for America Out Loud, really over the past couple of few years now. You know that. It's not a new topic, but it's a big problem out there. I mean, we're sensing more and more of this as social media giants, tech giants, continue to shut down conservative voices. Initially, when this started, a lot of people thought, that's not really happening. You know, remember you seen the hearings up at the congressional hearings? They had Diamond Silk up there and they had others. And, you know, a lot of people thought, this really isn't happening. Well, I got news for you. It's happening, and it's happening in a profound way. And it's getting beyond the joking part now. At first, it was a little bit of humorous. Haha, they're targeting us. Now, it's an affront to everything. It's an affront to, certainly our Constitution's an affront to us as Americans, as patriots, and certainly the conservative movement. Please welcome onto the show here our panel to take this conversation up, and a couple of folks who know about this topic pretty close and personal here. Ava Armstrong, of course, one of our own here. She's a political commentator on America Out Loud and a radio personality here. Ava is an author who writes about the everyday men and women, as you know, patriotism. So you catch her on Amazon or in the America Out Loud bookstore. Also joining us for the first time on Viewpoint, Carly Bonet. She's an actress, singer, songwriter, and comedian. She's a political activist and a what I call a social media influencer. In fact, all of our panel today are social media influencers. And please welcome on, Ray Brookstein is here. He's an American poet. He's the author of The Trump Chronicle. You've seen the series of books. There's already year one, year two, and year three is coming, friends. Can't wait till we get to year seven. And he's a conservative talk show host as well here on America Out Loud called The Trump Chronicle. So, okay, friends, let's do it. So the First Amendment, this thing came back. I mean, this is probably that's the reason it's the First Amendment. I mean, this is called freedom of speech. You know, this was the thing about this nation is we weren't supposed to be shut down. We're not supposed to be stifled. We're supposed to be able to say what we want without having somebody show up at the house or without somebody throwing us off of some public forum. But Ava, that is not what is happening. Clearly, we're having problems, and they're profound problems we're having. Now, you just experienced something yourself. You know, I know you've been previously. You've gone out for 24 hours. They put you in what they call Twitmo. Is it they call it, Ava? Twitmo.
Yes.
A version of Gitmo, right? And yes. But now you've got a whole week. You were suspended. Talk to us about this and what's going on, please.
Yeah, this is my third go-around with Twitter, just so you know. I was originally thought to be a Russian spy at one point, a bot. They took me off for that reason. And then I just recently suspended for a week. So, yeah, I made a comment about, you know, replacing Americans with illegals. And
well, let me read this tweet, because this is what I understand. You put the new Underground Railroad. Is this the tweet here? Ava?
Yeah, that was one I got in Twitmo for 24 hours for that one.
Oh, I see. And then the one that you said, which is interesting here, because you say, in quotes, kill all Americans, replace with illegals. Voila, America is gone. So that was
right.
Sort of a sarcastic approach to
right.
Illegal immigration, I guess, is what it was, right? What, did
a very,
the, what didn't
a
they
very
like about
stupid,
that?
It was a very stupid thing to say.
Because why?
So, well, apparently they either viewed that as, you know, hate speech or, you know, threatening kind of word. So obviously you can't use the word kill. And being a person who uses words all the time, I mm-hmm. should know that. So
yeah, but you say that a minute. Hold on a minute here. You say that, but yet you were really just, it's a hypothetical is what you put out there, Ava. It's a hypothetical. It's sarcasm. What do you
mean?
Yeah,
but I'm not taking up for Twitter, believe me.
Okay.
I think they should give us a wider berth here. But what happens is they have algorithms, and they are searching for specific words, and I used one of the bad words.
Right, kill, yeah. And there's other words like death and Muslim and other words. Is that right, Ava?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Like that. And there's a whole series of them.
Even the word Obama.
Will do that? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a lot of, I'm sure MAGA also puts you in a bucket as well here. Carly, you were on the same forum, the same social media forum, Twitter, you're probably on others, but let's talk about Twitter a moment here. And you had the same kind of thing happen to you now, but you were suspended permanently now. What did you do? Did you go after Dorsey himself? Did you insult him or go after Dorsey? And, you know, what happened?
First was I had a day suspension and another day. Then I had a week for a tweet because I was sticking up for Lou Dobbs.
Right.
Now, this last one was on the president's thread. And if you've ever read what these people write to him, I'm surprised the FBI isn't banging down their doors. They threaten his life every day. But
yeah.
All I put up was it was a joke. It was a little gif of a guy kicking a football.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, and POTUS had tweeted something in the effects of, you know, the illegal witch hunt. And I put up the headline of Gitmo. Next thing I know, I get an email, your account has been suspended, it is under review. And they said, no, this is targeted harassment and stopping someone's free speech. And I was like, what?
I see. Yeah.
So then a day later, because I'm on Patriot Soapbox, they said, send them this in an email saying that I'm on the radio, on YouTube with them, and this is against my freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent that to them. Immediately, they took that as me being mean and threatening, and they just took the account away.
Interesting. That's the thing about all this social media, is it's an investment of time. It's absolutely an investment of time. This doesn't happen in a short period of time. So if you've got serious followers on there, then you've put serious investment of time and money and the effort into it. And sadly, they're just not even acknowledging that when they wipe people off for all kinds of you know, accusations and claims. Now, in the case of Carly, Carly is a comedian. So obviously she's going to be even more sarcastic or more outrageous sometimes, but it's all sort of, I don't know, poking the bear. I mean, it's all sort of fun. Isn't it, Ava? Isn't that sort of like what we're talking about here? Isn't this stuff just kind of, right? I mean, a little bit of humorous as well?
Yeah, I won't be poking the bear anymore.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what they want. Now, that's what they wanted from you. Actually, they wanted to reprimand you. Bad girl, put you in the corner, and you're saying you're going to acknowledge that.
Well, I'm actually seeking world domination, so I will utilize. I will. You know what I'll do, Malcolm. You
right,
know me.
Right. No, I know. I know. Well, let me get to Ray here. Now, Ray, you just had on the program this past week here someone also that on your show that also was hit pretty hard with this. Everybody should know the name, or with Laura Loomer. And you had a pretty intimate conversation with her as well on this. What was her assessment of this whole thing, this free speech that's going on? What's her assessment of it?
She has a term for what she does, and it's very interesting. It's called guerrilla journalism, and it's not like King Kong. It's more like Che Guevara.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of an in-your-face journalism. So she'll travel based on the events that are going on in the country and kind of get in somebody's face. And she's gotten in the face of some very influential people, the governor of California, Nancy Pelosi. I mean, she's gotten on stage and a play in Central Park. There's a very famous summer series that's called like Plays in the Park. She got on stage during the depiction, like a Caesar-like assassination with a Donald Trump lookalike.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets right in your face.
She doesn't back down, Ray, is what you're saying. I mean, she's right out there in a big way, which is why she got the big news, right? I mean, she was on the... I mean, everybody was talking about her at one point because of,
yes.
And she was arrested multiple times, as I
yes.
understand as well. Yeah, so she took it further than most take it, because
yes.
it's one thing to have your free speech be questioned or violated. It's another thing to be tossed in jail. I mean, that's definitely an insult. In all the years that this social media now has taken on a life of its own, there's a lot of hostilities in the country. I mean, on both sides. So they're just, it's a very divisive environment and has been right along. But where are the lines drawn? And what I want to say, and Ray, let me stay with you just a moment and ask you this. Now,
yes,
listen, not to be a wise guy here, but I see a lot of the characters on the far left come out and do outrageous things. I mean, outrageous things. And they insult and they call, and they, in fact, they threaten Trump's life. They've done that. Many of the celebs have, and others have gotten on stage and done, and they don't get anything. I mean, these people, and they put it all over social media and they don't get anything. They just keep going on. Their accounts aren't suspended. They're not thrown off. So what's up with that?
Well, you know, it goes back to a quote that I've always really liked, and most people know. And it goes something like, I disapprove of what you say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it. And it's a very noble, actually, it's written by a woman named Evelyn Beatrice Hall, but it's sort of attributed to Voltaire.
Mm-hmm.
But that has gotten so twisted for conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
Now it reads something like, I'll defend to the death my right to suppress you.
Yeah.
So, you know, things like trying to get Tucker Carlson off the air.
Right.
This is not about an apology for something that he might have said 10 years. This is outright fascism to shut him down. Mm-hmm. So there's no more nobility. It's not. This is a fight now.
It's a fight.
Free speech. Free speech is not free. It's an oxymoron, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it is. That's the point we're sort of at now here. We just had that list of 200 that was put out there with the Politico article. That was a big deal as well. Carly, with everything we're seeing right now and with the fact that it's hit you so personally as well, here's the thing. After that happened to you, you came back again and you established a whole new account. And my question is, I'm assuming the price of admission that you're paying here is worth it, I guess, because you still are there on social media. There's nothing like social media, is there? I mean, the forum itself is of great value to people, isn't it?
Respect people that are on there. I came on Twitter, which I tried four times years ago, started an account, one for music, and I had a small business, and I just never got the hang of it, you know? I was more comfortable with Facebook and even Instagram and YouTube. But once this war started with the president, it's like we're living in times where they still just can't accept that this man won, mm-hmm. that not only do they hate him, they hate every one of us.
Yeah.
That means we're not allowed to speak because we don't align what they meant. So that makes us enemy combatants. That makes us dirt. That makes us crap. And all these people with their little blue check marks can say whatever horrific thing they want, get some backlash, delete the tweet, and go on with their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where you and I will put up a joke or a satire and banned and called a racist, a xenophobe, a homophobe, whatever phobe they want to put on you. And you have to go in the corner, put on your dunce cap, and not come out until your thoughts and your speech aligns with theirs.
We're seeing it, I mean, right now, when they are pulling all kinds of people off of social media. You know, this fight, Ava, really started some time ago when we seen a lot of the problems with the red MAGA hats. And we've seen the political field. We've seen the influencers there. Remember that people were being assaulted in restaurants and public venues. Remember Kirstjen Nielsen, that happened to. It's happened to a lot of people. They were insulted because, again, what Carly was just saying is the connection to anything that was Make America Great, anything that was connected to patriotism. In fact, patriotism and or nationalism became a dirty words. I mean, they're dirty words today on the left side. The social media giants are not playing fairly. And how many times have we addressed this on Viewpoint over the past couple of years? I mean, well before it's got to this point, Ava, but nothing's happened. Nothing's been done. What do you think happens next?
I think that free speech, especially political speech,
right.
Our First Amendment is very important, and I think there are laws that have already gone through the Supreme Court protecting political speech in particular. And there's a reason for that, because that's how we were founded. We were founded because we pulled away from Great Britain and you know, we formed this great country and based on all these freedoms. So political speech is, in my mind, probably the most exonerated part of this, yet that's what's being taken away from us every day.
These tech companies are private enterprises. They really can invite anybody they want to their party, you know that. And if you don't like
exactly.
it, it's too bad, so sad. Now, we've talked about that as well, Ms. Armstrong, and am I right
we
or
did.
Wrong? Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right, and I have to bend
That's
to
right.
Twitter's
That's right.
to Twitter's rules, whatever they are. I wish to hell I knew them all.
Ray, are you on anything else?
I'm not. I might have an account with Gab, but I haven't used it. In the infancy of these mega giants of social media, they had been given very certain exemptions so that they could grow a platform. And a lot of it centered around free speech and not slanting the political news. They have violated these basic rules that helped get them started. And I think it's up to the Congress at this point, but they've almost become bigger than countries.
That's right.
So the fight is enormous. Now, you know me, I write books, and I'm so thankful. I just want to say to you for giving me a voice on a platform that is free, and we can express ourselves. Right. Now, I try not to engage too much. I worry about even putting out poems sometimes, because I might say something within a poem that could be objectionable.
Right.
But so far, I've been free of suspension in the year that I've been on, but I do feel the suppression, because I can tell when I put something out how many impressions it gets per tweet. These are like technical things. Ava, you know what I'm talking about, where you could put something out and get 150 impressions per tweet. And I've put out some what I considered very good stuff that is down to 25 or 30 impressions per tweet. So you really don't know the echo chamber.
You believe they're
even
stifling
a word
it.
Like Trump. They're stifling it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, a word like even Trump or hate is gonna get picked up. And Ava's exactly right. They have some very smart people that are behind the technology of these things, the algorithms. I call them algorithms.
Interesting. That's an interesting way to look at it. So what are we to do, Ava? Is it just a matter of time before a couple of these conservative firms get in there and something else happens? Because every one of these social media giants are far left, some of them more radical than others.
Ironically, one of the tweets that got me banned for a day was the new Underground Railroad is conservative speech. That was one of them.
Now, why would that get you banned? I don't understand. I'm not sure.
Well, the term Underground Railroad is, you know, took place during slavery. This is how the slaves would communicate with one another and move about freely in the country.
But you mean you can't use that term at all? You mean you can't use it, or what's the deal? I still don't understand.
Apparently, somebody reported me, and when I said conservative speech is the new Underground Railroad. And they reported me for that, and I got suspended for a day. That was a couple of weeks ago. So I had to take that tweet down.
That's a recent one as well that happened?
Yes.
So now wait a minute. So obviously, let's just call it. So right now, you have a target on your back then. They're watching you.
Big time. Is we really need to, as conservatives, become a new Underground Railroad. We need to become the abolitionists of this time. We need to free ourselves from these chains. And the way to do it is probably to create a new sort of language among one another. I mean, I know it sounds kind of crazy, but we have to be very careful about using hashtags, putting people in groups or on lists, because what's happening, there are people out there that are specifically targeting us, okay? That's what their job is to do all day long.
Yeah.
And they're working for other groups that are leftists. So just bear that in mind.
I mean, this sounds insane what you're talking about. I mean, this sounds crazy, Ava. Crazy talk. I mean, so we're supposed to go underground?
Use terms that are not going to get you grabbed, okay? I know it sounds crazy, but that's the only way you'll stay on Twitter.
So what we're saying is free speech clearly does not exist. I mean, that's exactly what we're saying. So because we're playing in their private enterprises, and you have to succumb to their rules, which is really the bigger problem I continually put out there. There's a problem out there, and it needs to be addressed. Well, listen, big thank you here to Ava Armstrong, Carly Benet, and Ray Brookstein. You can reach us here at talk@AmericaOutloud.com. Again, we let the silent voices be heard. It's our platform. It's what we're all about here. Friends, the Out Loud Truth continues back at AmericaOutloud.com.